Hey, welcome back to Bingeable. You know the drill by now. Emmy and I go through the most talked about shows, and we do a deep dive, talk about what we love, what we didn't love, go through the whole thing. So today we are going to be diving into Netflix's new show, Lupin, which is our first foreign language show on Bingeable, so very excited about that. But before we get into it, we just wanted to do a quick recap of the Golden Globe nominees, because we have a lot of thoughts.
Well, hello, guys. So, yes, the Golden Globe nominations. I feel as though there's a ginormous elephant in the room that is not even an elephant because everyone is talking about it. And that is the snub of I May Destroy You.
Absolutely gross.
We have covered it on this podcast, so you should know what it's about. If not, you must. It is truly the best show of 2020.
100%. I feel like it's objectively the best. You know what I mean? I feel like everybody in every roundup has talked about it being one of the best shows, if not the best show of the year. So the fact that it has no nominations is a joke. And definitely has a racist
and Michaela Cole
element.
Yes. So Michaela Cole created it, wrote it. I don't know if she directed it, starred in it. And she is a black woman. And you would think that, you know, anyone would be listening at this point from the Golden Globes Academy. And I just cannot believe what an oversight, but also just this was genuinely, and everyone believes so, the best show of the year. I just can't. She deserved all the awards. Not only did I think it would be nominated, I thought she would win. I thought it would be a sweep.
Yeah, and it should have been. The Golden Globes are always weird. A, because it's the Hollywood Foreign Press. And B, because they split categories. And so it allows for things that would not normally be nominated to sort of sneak their way in since they have to fill up double the categories. And I'm sorry, Emily in Paris, we just have to, like, yeah, it's fun, it's silly, it's not good. And so the fact that it was nominated and, you know, it's about a white girl in Paris and I May Destroy You got nothing. It's staggering.
You have to read the article. Everyone has to read the article that was written. I think it was in The Guardian by a writer for Emily in Paris about why I May Destroy You should have been nominated. Mm-hmm. And she does a very good, I mean, she does not by any means trash Emily in Paris. And it was a fun escapism show. Like, it was exactly what you wanted Emily in Paris to be. Like, it was nothing more, nothing less. But she just basically goes on to say, I May Destroy You was her favorite show of the year, and this was robbery and all the problems in I May Destroy You not being nominated, but Emily in Paris being nominated. And it's just a very good article.
I have to read that.
I feel like with these Golden Globe nominations, like, did they just forget what came out this year because it was such an insane year and, like, put a bunch of things in a hat and just pick out that way how they were nominating certain films? Like, it's the most random set of things. Like, the fact that the trial of the Chicago 7 and, like, Viola Davis and Chadwick Boseman are nominated, and then next to that is Prom.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just so confused.
It's just bizarre.
Usually the best part about the Golden Globes is that, like, you're allowed to drink at the Golden Globes. So I feel like it's the most entertaining show. But this year, due to the fact that it can't necessarily be, of course, in person, and they can't all get drunk and have fun together, I don't even know that I'm going to be watching.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like, A, I don't get the dresses, and B, I don't get the entertainment of everyone kind of acting a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah. I totally agree.
What you guys should realize is that we're watching all the right shows because they're all
That's
nominated.
Very true. That's very true. Bingeable knows where it's at and you guys know where it's at. So that's great.
But we promise we did not write these nominations ourselves, even though we have watched almost every show on this list. We do not agree.
We do not agree. So veering left into a show that we do love, which I very much hope. Well, I think it is actually getting a ton of notoriety, yeah, press, and that's Lupin on Netflix.
Omar Sy is Lupin, and he is, number one, I love a good international show, but I feel like I usually watch Spanish shows. I was on a real Spanish kick for a long time, so this was like one of the few French shows I've even watched, so I don't know Omar Sy from before, but they found the perfect male lead, I feel like, in this show.
Yeah, he's so good. I think he would make an amazing James Bond. He is so charismatic. He's so hot. He's so suave. He has such swagger. Like, he just kind of has it all. And you just instantly want to root for him.
Yes. So we'll get into this as we get into the show. But I was so excited, kind of, by the turn at the end of episode 5. Like, things we realized, because they basically had fully convinced me to root for this character. And then you find out that it's, like, such a complicated character. And you're like, wait a minute. Should I be rooting for him? Oh, well, I'm too far gone now. I've already decided that he is the one I want to win.
It's interesting that it kind of swept Netflix the way it did, because it's only 5 episodes, so it's only just a little taste into the show, which I actually think was really smart of them. The second half of the season, the last 5 episodes of season 1 are coming out mid-2021, but I feel like it was just so nice to just have, like, a sort of taste, and people got so into it, and it just leaves you wanting more.
Yeah, it was like a nice little teaser, and then you're like, oh, shoot, I am into this. Because a heist show can be super overwhelming, and I feel like it can be like kind of not hard. If you're not an action show person, it can be kind of a lot to take in. And I feel like they did this so well because it was 5 45-minute episodes, basically. So even if you aren't that into action, it went so fast, and there were also so many other elements, and, like, nothing was exactly as you expected. And also the heist had so many levels to it that it flowed perfectly.
Yeah, the pace was really, really well done. Yeah, it was fun because it did sort of open with this heist, and you didn't really know what was going on, but then through the flashbacks and through them kind of revealing the background of how we got there, you started to get more and more into it because you got more and more understanding of the connection between Asan and the Pellegrinis, the background, the history, and it just got, like, the layers just got deeper and deeper.
Well, I loved everything going on with the Pellegrini family, but I also loved everything going on with Claire and their complicated story. And I loved that it all started, I don't know why I love this so much, but you know I'm a sucker for romance, and I absolutely adored how it all started out in high school.
Yeah, and even with his friend Ben.
Yes. Well, because when you're watching it, you're like, why is this guy helping Lupin? Like, he knows this whole time. You're like, okay, this guy is tricking everyone. And then you find out that, like, Claire and Ben essentially know exactly what he's doing. Like, he's not tricking them, his two closest confidants. So you're like, why are these people kind of standing by? Like, nobody's asking questions. Nobody's getting angry. And nobody's, like, wants out. And then you find out that they actually have been together since high school. Mm-hmm. So they knew exactly who he was from the beginning.
Right. And it sort of makes you, like, I did also love his relationship with Claire. And we got to see a lot of the background of that towards the last couple of episodes. But to see that even though they weren't married, even though they'd had, you know, complications in their relationship, they loved each other so much. And, like, even though she was dating other people or whatever, the dynamic between the two of them and their son, Raul, like, it was just so heartwarming because you really felt like they will have each other's backs forever, whether or not they're together. Yeah. And that, I feel like, also has to do with how great his performance was, because even though you had seen him disappoint her and you had seen him disappoint Raul, and it's not like he's this perfect guy, he's done a lot of, you know, handled things badly, you still feel like he's a good guy at the end of the day. So you do, like, want them to work it out.
Regardless, he is, like, he had a tragic backstory. He was raised by a single father who was framed for a terrible robbery and then hung himself in jail. And he was all by himself he probably was 14, I think. I think he was 14 when this happened. And then anonymously, someone pays for him to go to this private school. So he all of a sudden, like, has a lot of his huge problems solved, but he's still going through this trauma. And now at this, like, elite private school, and it was also so, like, he was such a confident kid, which I loved. Like, he always had that charm, and he always had this, like, immediately, like, Claire loved him, and immediately, like, Ben took a liking to him. His character was just great. The little boy who played him was the perfect boy to play, like, young
Hassan. Also, the girl who played young Claire, she looked exactly like her. I was freaking out. I was like, this is the best casting I've ever seen.
Her, when she was older and they were, like, officially dating, or, like, when she was older but they were still in high school, versus Claire when she was, like, younger and had just told Hassan that she was pregnant, looked like they could have been, like, 1 year apart. Like, they looked so similar. I will say the one thing that I was absolutely devastated about, but I also am so intrigued about to find out in the next season, is this, like, affair that was going on apparently the whole time between Hassan and Juliet.
I want to discuss this because that scene happened so quickly that I was like, wait, is that Juliet in the back? It was her, right?
Fully her. And, well, you did wonder, like, why Juliet didn't turn Hassan in.
That's true. Because
you're like, okay, they kissed, they, like, knew each other as kids. Like, that's nice. I guess she just, like, has a big heart. And then you're, like, realizing how kind of involved she is in with her father's business. You're like, it's kind of weird that she is just, like, she knows this huge part of this story and hasn't said anything. And then, until that scene, I was like, wait, what? Yeah. What? They knew each other this whole
time? That's so true. That does make it make more sense why initially she didn't say. But she does tell her dad in the end that it's Hassan. But you're right, at first she doesn't.
Well, and I think at that point it was, like, pretty far gone in the situation. Like, she knew Hassan was, like, not giving up and that she had to choose between the two of them. Whereas I think before she just kind of thought she could save Hassan, and she was like, I don't really care about the necklace, but now, like, if this is my dad's whole life.
I was so, like, I just knew when he went on the talk show and he was going to reveal the video that showed Pellegrini talking to the terrorists, I was like, oh my God, there's no way this is going to go his way. Like, there's just no way. But I was still so sad when Pellegrini, like, duped him.
Well, and also it was so, Hassan was very confident in the things that he was doing. I was like, you are on the news right now, like, revealing. I get that you're in makeup, but, like, also at the auction, like, he never had anyone else really playing the roles. Like, he obviously got other people involved, but his face was everywhere.
Yeah.
Really. Like, he was never that disguised or
hidden. That's true. And even when he knew they knew who he was and he was after them, like, he was still pretty confident. And he was not, like, and I guess that's just because, you know, he's the best at what he does. But I'm like, he really just, he's out and about. He's on the news. He's like,
he's taking his son on the train to still celebrate his birthday. Like, can we do a birthday party indoors, Hassan? We don't need to go out.
Yeah, we don't need to do this. I mean, I just, but you love his confidence, and he is so confident that you're just like, yeah, I guess he's good. Like, I guess he's going to get out of it. And he had successfully thought of everything for so long, I feel like all of the things that could go wrong.
Well, that's, I feel like it was so interesting because you have the first episode and you think, like, okay, what is this show going to be about? Because the heist is already over, you know? Like, I was like, where are we going to go from here? And then it revealed itself to be, like, just a little part of this gigantic backstory. And it was just fantastic, I thought. And also, I need his desk chair.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand what he actually... So, him and Ben essentially steal things and then resell them in their antique store in the back room. And I'm guessing, like, that's how they get their pretty good income.
Yeah.
Because we don't have another. I also just loved that, like, Hassan, when you meet him, he plays, like, such a good Louvre custodian, essentially. And you're like, oh, like, he's friendly with the other people that work there. He, like, seems like this is, like, a job he's been doing for a long time. And then you're just like, okay, this is a businessman now.
Right.
All swapped up.
Every role he plays, he's so good at that you're just like, yeah, I could see how people just buy him as like a multi-billionaire, also buy him as a custodian, also buy him as, you know, whatever. Also, by the way, remember when he got himself in jail and then out of jail? That was wild.
That was just the second like, that's the thing, this show, the episodes, every episode was so insane. Like, that, I'm pretty sure, was just episode two. And you just see him, like, going to jail. And I'm like, okay, how are we going to get... And the whole time, I'm thinking, Claire is going to be pissed if she has to pick him up from jail. She's not going to be pleased. And then I'm like, oh, Claire... Then he, like, comes and picks up his son. And Claire's like, you don't look that good. Like, nothing is real.
Yeah, it's so insane. And I feel like every episode does a really good job of... Each episode has its own little mystery within it. And, like... getting himself into a situation and trying to figure out how he's going to get out of it. And then there's also like the larger mystery and heist and whole, you know, part of the show. So it's kind of like, it's exciting to watch each episode. And then we get these little like bits and pieces about how what he's doing relates to the bigger picture.
I must say, how good of a dresser is he?
Amazing style. How stoked do you think the production team was when they found that desk chair?
Well, because that's the first time you see him like out of this role he's playing as a custodian. And so you like get to his apartment and you're like, what the hell is this? And the desk chair just immediately transforms you into this new world of this like cool art collector tech genius. And you're like, what the hell?
It's so who are good. You it's so good. I also just love him as a dad. Like, I just love his relationship with Raul. And in the flashback when Claire tells him that she's pregnant, how happy he gets, it's so cute.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Asan is sort of a criminal for sure, but he is also a genuinely, like, he's a good guy. He's like a very, he's a nice person. And so it's very complicated.
Very complicated. And you do understand, like, even though he is doing all of these things that are obviously not chill, like when he put all the cameras in the captain in his house. He's like watching him and into his like Siri thing, which was so like really freaked me out, because I feel like hacking into people's smartphones and smart gadgets is like the way of the future, and it really freaks me out. But even though he's doing all of that, you understand why, because you get to see the whole connection with his dad, who you love, and you know, they just, you understand why he's doing these things, even if you don't like agree with them all the time. And I feel like the one thing that he didn't account for, and he didn't think anybody would actually like take away from him, is Claire and Raul. And in the end, that's what kind of, his guard was down.
It just turned into all about fathers and sons. And even with the deputy, he, like, even him with his relationship with his kids and with Juliet and her father, like, it's all about fatherhood, kind of, in a way.
Yeah.
But, and I feel like because Omar isn't with Claire at the time and, you know, doesn't see Raul as much, he kind of thought maybe, I don't know, but maybe he thinks in a way that he is keeping them safe because they're not technically, like, with him all the time and involved in any of this. And Claire was weirdly calm on the train.
Like, yeah. Didn't come back for 20 minutes and came back all beaten up. She just was like, are you okay? What's happening?
And he's like, I got in a fight. And she just, like, seems, like, unbothered. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute. How often does this happen?
Yeah. I think that is a really good point, though. I think that's true, that he probably felt like he was protecting them by not being so involved. And then as he starts to bond more with Raul and gets Raul into, you know, this book series about Arsène Lupin and the whole thing, and they start to connect, and he sort of starts to let his kind of protective guard go down and not distance himself from them, that's when things really pop off in not a great way for him. Did you ever think that maybe he had done it, his dad, that maybe his dad was guilty?
No, but I also, just with how Asan is, like, there was that one episode all about, like, what you do for your children and to give them a better life and how far you'll go for the people that you love. I feel like that is a theme of the show. And I do think, like, his dad was such a good dad and totally devoted to Asan. And the only reason I would think that he might do it is if he was in some bind where he needed to give Asan a better life. Basically, as Asan was finding out that his dad wasn't guilty, I was like, okay, his dad's definitely not guilty. What about you?
I didn't think that he did it, but I was like, I feel like this is gonna be twisty and turny and complicated, because to frame someone and get away with it, I mean, I guess it's different if you are as powerful as Pellegrini is, but I just feel like this stuff never goes buried forever. Like, eventually the truth always comes out, I feel like.
So good.
I can't wait for the next 5 episodes.
There's just nothing more fun than a protagonist that you're like totally with.
What else have you been watching?
Well, I'm about to start Ted Lasso today, so I can't wait for that. I'm still watching Mad Men, but I was like, honestly, I could use just a happy show mm-hmm. today. All I want to do is start and finish a show in a day. That's my Valentine's Day plan.
Love it.
What are you watching?
So as I said, recently finished Lovecraft. I loved it. It's definitely out there and weird and very sci-fi, and you kind of have to just roll with it, but there's so much there. Similar to Watchmen in that it's talking about race in a very genre-specific way. The one thing that I have been thinking about starting, which after watching Lupin, I'm even more excited, not that they are anything similar to each other in content, but Call My Agent.
We must.
Yeah, I really want to start that.
I am with you. I want to start the same this week.
Perfect.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Please.
Did you watch Malcolm and Marie?
I did not. And I will.
I did not either.
I've just heard really bad things. And I kind of feel like when we were talking about Euphoria and talking about how Sam Levinson is just like lives and dies for Zendaya, which I get because so do we. But like, I don't know.
Honestly, both of the actors in it can do absolutely no wrong.
Oh yeah, incredible.
So I don't blame them, and I don't think anyone else is blaming them either. I've just heard it's a very interesting take on a relationship between a black couple by a white man.
Right. Well, maybe we should both watch it this week, and then we can touch on that in the next episode.
Yeah. I just thought since our girl is Zendaya, if you have any show recommendations, please send them our way. We'll probably be on an international foreign kick for a while.
Alrighty.
Goodbye.
Bye.